called me yesterday and said he was fumbling around on his desk, and he saw a note where he had written down the note where I had called him and left him a message. And he called me yesterday and gave me a meeting in May. and so that's just luck. No, that's God. and we've seen the Lord do things like that over and over and over again, and we just praise him for that. But I was just thinking today, and I usually get up earlier than the rest of the folks in the house in the mornings. We heat by wood, and so I get up and try to get the wood, the heater, to going, to get the house warmed up again, and kind of gets, you know, the fire dies down during the night and kind of gets cold in the back rooms. So I get up early and get it fired up so them youngins can wake up in a warm room. Usually have some time to pray during those moments and just commune with God. And it's wonderful to be able to do that. I was thinking this morning, didn't have too much time this morning because we stayed up too late last night, and I was late getting up this morning. So Cynthia was right behind me. She wasn't far behind me. But I got to thinking about this, and you know what? We just might go to heaven in 2011. We just might go to heaven in 2011. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And if you would, let's stand together in verse number 51. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 51. Said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you tonight. We want to say thank you, Lord, that we can be in the house of God on the last day of 2010. And we're looking forward to what you're going to do for us in 2011. We thank you for the privilege to serve you. But Lord, our eyes are looking eastward toward the eastern sky, and our ears are in tune, Lord, for that trumpet to sound. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, as John did on the Isle of Patmos, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, I pray. Lord, I ask you now to help us as we preach, and I pray the power of God would fill this place, and every preacher that stands behind this sacred desk tonight, fill them with the Spirit of God, give them liberty to preach. God, give us what we need tonight. We'll thank you and praise you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen and amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. The mystery of the translation of living saints. We might go to heaven in 2011, and I really believe that the trumpet could sound any time. We believe in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, when we talk about the second coming of Christ, it is in two parts. It's the rapture. The rapture of the church, but also the revelation of Jesus Christ when He'll come back and set up His throne there in Jerusalem. The Bible teaches us that He will occupy the throne of His father David, and we thank God for that. We also believe the Bible teaches that these events, that the rapture will precede the tribulation. The church is getting out of here. Before the tribulation enters, I'll be gone. We won't be here for any part of the tribulation period. We're going to be gone. And so we're not subject to wrath
Romans 8 and 1 teaches us that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And so there's the children of God, the child of God. We do not have to fear the wrath of God. The wrath of God will never abide on God's children. We are engulfed with His love and His mercy and His grace. And one of these days, the trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to leave out of here. In fact, I believe that there are people listening to me right now that will not see physical death. Will not see physical death. I believe the trumpet's going to sound one of these days. And I believe it's getting closer and closer. And when He comes. Now, as we look at these scriptures, we see the attributes of the old sinful body, but we also see the attributes of the new sinless body. In verse number 42, if you'll back up there, chapter 15 and verse number 42, it says, verse number 40 says, there are also celestial bodies, bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, and one star differs one from another star in glory. Verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. That is a perishable body. This sinful body is a perishable body. And when Adam sinned and disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, he immediately died spiritually. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so he immediately died spiritually, that is, separated from God. His sin separated him from God. But he also began to die physically. He began to die physically. And so I have loved ones who have died and are with the Lord. And many of you have loved ones who have passed away. Death is something that is a part of our life. The psalmist talks about it in Psalm 23. As far as the Christian's concerned, it's the valley of the shadow of death. And as we've heard Preacher Stewart say many times, a shadow can't hurt you. You can stand outside out there in the road and a shadow of an 18-wheeler pass by and it won't hurt you. But if you get out there in that road and that truck hits you, then you're in trouble. But thank God the shadow can't hurt us. Death can't hurt the child of God. Death can't hurt us. And as we've heard Preacher Stewart say so many times, so when they roll my body down here and you walk by my casket, don't you say I'm dead, because I'm as much alive, I'll be as much alive then as I've ever been. Because I'm a child of God. And we have eternal life. We have eternal life. But that sinful body is sown in corruption. It perishes. It perishes. But notice the sinless body. It is raised in incorruption. It is raised in incorruption. That's the body that we will have at the resurrection. When the resurrection happens, when it takes place. And those of us that are alive and remain, we're going to be called up together. We're going to be changed mid-air. We're going to get a new body mid-air. We'll never suffer the valley of death, but we'll be raptured out. That word rapture is not in the Bible, but it certainly is taught in the Bible. In Revelation chapter number 4, we're caught up together. That means snatched out. Praise God. One of these days we're going to get snatched out of here. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. My eyes wearing out. If I take these glasses off, Brother Terry looks a whole lot better without these glasses on. These old bodies, these sinful bodies, our outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. And one of these days it's going to be raised incorruptible, an imperishable body. Then notice next it says it is sown in dishonor. It is sown in dishonor. And that is talking about in a common world. In a common world. In this world, Christians, God's people are without honor in this world. The world's not going to pat you on the back. You hand out very many tracts in the stores, and you'll get some funny looks, and you'll get some snickers, and you'll see them throw them aside or throw them in the trash can. The world's not proud of what we're doing. This world that we're living in, it's dishonor. We're in a world of dishonor, but you have to look at us from a different viewpoint to know that as was preached, I believe Sunday night, Brother Tim mentioned of whom the world was not worthy, of whom the world was not worthy, and so it's sown in dishonor, but it is raised in glory. Raised in glory. That is, in a perfect world. We're going to a world. We're going to a perfect world. We're going to a world that has perfect forgiveness. We're going to a world that has perfect love. We're going to a world that's perfect in every imagination of the word perfect. That's the world we're headed to. It's glory land. Hallelujah. Sown in dishonor, but raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. In weakness. That is, this sinful body is subject to disease and to infirmities, to weaknesses and disease. It is sown in weakness. But notice it is raised in what? In power. It is raised in power. Our body that we live in here on this earth is weak. It's weak. It's a sinful body. Dr. Seidler used to say we all have a bent to do wrong. And we do. We all have a bent to do wrong. Thank God for mercy. Thank God that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. Thank God that when Jesus died on the cross, all of my sins were in the future. He died for my sins. And so when I fail Him, when this old sinful flesh fails Him, I can go to Him and He'll forgive me and wash my sins away and forgive me. But it's a weak body. But we're raised in power. Raised in power. Not subject to disease. Not subject to infirmities. I mean, the cripple are going to walk in heaven. There'll be no cripples in heaven. There'll be no blind people in heaven. There'll be no deaf people in heaven. There'll be no cancer in heaven. Thank God, no cancer in heaven. There'll be no diabetes in heaven. There'll be no stroke victims in heaven. There'll be no heart attacks in heaven. I thank God for heaven tonight. We just might go to heaven in 2011. It's raised in power. Raised in power. It is sown a natural body that is bounded by the laws of nature. Bounded by the laws of nature. And those laws, we're affected by those laws. The law of gravity, what goes up must come down. If I get up on that banister and jump off, I'm not going to levitate and fly around here. I guarantee you that. I'm going to fall. Our bodies are limited. We're subject to this. We're bounded by the laws of nature. But notice what it says. It is raised. It's sown a natural body, but it is raised a spiritual body. That is a body that is not subject. It's not bounded by the laws of nature. And so the secret is out in verse number 51. Paul says, behold, look at this. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And you've heard it said over and over again, and I'm going to say it again tonight. Jesus could come before I get through with this message, before I get through this puny little outline that I've got right here. The trumpet could sound. The dead in Christ, those graveyards are going to become resurrection ground. Our loved ones who've died in the Lord are going to come up out of those graves, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then we're going to enjoy a 1,000-year honeymoon. No honeymoon like that's ever been. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. My wife gave me a book. I'd heard the story about these four Navy SEALs that were on a mission over in Afghanistan. And the only survivor of that mission, it was the greatest loss of life in Navy SEAL history. They're on that mountainside. But there was only four men that initially were inserted into that area. And they were going in to take out a man who was partly responsible for the 9/11 attacks on the Twin Towers. And he was a very evil man, he was a terrorist. He was mounting attacks against our troops in Afghanistan, and he was responsible for a lot of death of American soldiers and responsible for a lot of Americans in New York City on 9/11. And so these four Navy SEALs were inserted to go in and take him out. And so they flew him in a helicopter, and they hiked up the side of one of those mountains there in Afghanistan for about 10 miles till they got into position, and they got undercover, and they were undercover. And they were looking down on this village where this man was. They were going to take him out. And they were just sitting there waiting. Sometimes it takes a sniper 2 to 3 days to move from here to that door back there to get in a position to take his shot. Two to three days to move from here to those doors back there so that he is not detected. And these four men, they moved stealthily. They were trained like that. The military has a code of honor that no soldier is to be left alone on the battlefield. Isn't that a blessing? When you think about Jesus said, "I'll never leave you, nor forsake you." But when a fellow soldier falls in the battle, you're supposed to go out there and get him. Under fire, you go out there and you get him and you bring him back to safety. And but these four Navy SEALs were they were undercover and just looking down on that village and waiting for their opportunity to take this man out. And they didn't even hear him coming. But there was some shepherds. There was a shepherd there was one of them that was up under a log, and they were all in position, and this particular one, his name was Marcus, he was up under a log, and this shepherd just came along. He didn't even hear him coming. He didn't see him until he jumped on that log. He jumped up on that log and then stepped across that log, and Marcus was just laying there looking at him, and that shepherd didn't know he was there. He couldn't see him. And that's how well concealed they were. And when the shepherd turned around to go back in the direction that he came in, the Navy SEALs, he saw him. He saw him laying there up under that log. Well, then there was two more shepherds that came across the hill and a small boy. So their cover was blown. But these were unarmed civilian shepherds, and according to the rules of engagement, they couldn't kill them. But they knew that as soon as they let them shepherds go, they were headed straight to the Taliban, and they were going to tell the Taliban where their location was, and they were in deep trouble. And so they were trying to decide whether or not they were going to kill them or let them go. And they finally decided to let them go. They let them go. And so then they started trying to make it to higher ground. because they knew that they could fight better from higher ground. If they were up higher, then and the enemy was having to come up the side of the mountain for them, then they could probably wipe them all out, just four of them. And there was about they said there was anywhere from 80 to 200 Taliban in that village. And sure enough, those shepherds, they went down there and they told the Taliban, there's four Americans up on the hill, and here they come. Before they could get to the top of the hill, those Taliban were coming over the top of the hill from them. And so they bunkered down, those four men, and they started shooting it out. And those Taliban were throwing in RPGs, that's rocket propelled grenades. They were throwing in grenades. They were spraying AK-47 bullets everywhere. And those four Navy SEALs, they were hunkered down in some rocks, and they were shooting. And before one of them got shot, they took out at least 50. They killed at least 50 of those Taliban before one of them ever got shot. But they said they just kept coming. They just kept coming over the hill. So they were going to try to make it back down the mountain and try to get on flat ground. Since they couldn't get to high ground, they were going to try to get back and get on flat ground. They felt like they could do more damage if they could do that. And so one of them ordered to retreat. And when they did, they dropped off about a 30-foot drop down the side of that mountain. And then all of them started sliding down that mountain. And again, they were throwing grenades at them, spraying them with AK-47 fire, and they still, none of them got shot or hit. And they regrouped, and bullets were flying everywhere. And then this one man, his name was Danny, he got shot and blowed his thumb off. I believe it was on his right hand, blowed his thumb off, but he just kept shooting. He just kept shooting. Then he got shot again. Danny got shot again. And then Murphy got shot. And then Axe got shot. Marcus, during the whole ordeal, only got shot one time. But he got hit with shrapnel from an RPG and just mangled up his left leg, just holes all in his left leg. But Danny, when Danny got shot the third time, he was out on the battlefield, and Marcus went out under enemy fire, went out and got him and brought him back. And as he had Danny on his back, now Danny's done been shot three times, and Danny's still in the fight. And fact is, one of the sayings of the Navy SEAL is that they're never out of the fight. They are never out of the fight. And so as Marcus was carrying Danny back into cover, Danny was across Marcus's back and he was still shooting, having been shot three times. Just four of them. By the time it was over with, three of them were killed. Marcus was the only one left alive. And Axe, the guy they called Axe, made one last attempt to contact headquarters with a cell phone. And they never used a cell phone unless it was just the last hope. And he knew he had to go out into clear territory to use that cell phone. And Axe went out there in clear territory and dialed headquarters and phoned into headquarters and said, "We're under heavy fire. We're dying out here. We got to have help." And about that time, he got shot right in the back. And his cell phone fell forward. And he reached down, he picked up his cell phone, brought it back to his ear, and he said, "Roger that, sir." And then got up and walked back over and started firing again. Remember, never out of the fight. Never out of the fight. That's the way we are as Christian soldiers of the cross. We're never out of the fight. And I'm going to tell you something. It is a spiritual warfare that we're in. And the enemy is on the attack. And I'm going to tell you something. We're outnumbered as far as numbers go. But we're not outpowered. We're not outpowered at all. Well, to the story, just to make the story short, the Pushtun tribes up in those mountains are the ones that help the Taliban. The Taliban could not exist without these people called the Pushtuns. And they have a law that if they take somebody in and befriend them, that they will defend them to the death of the last member of their tribe. And this Pushtun tribe took Marcus Luttrell in. They took him in under that law. And they were going to defend him. When all hope seemed like it was gone for Marcus Luttrell, and I haven't told you all the story. Three of his buddies were already dead. He was about half dead, but he was still he still had his gun, still had a grenade, and still had a radio that had just enough of a battery to send a signal up into the sky. Just had enough power on that battery to send as a beacon signal so that the planes going overhead would know where his location is. They could pinpoint his location. Just had enough power to where they would know where his location was. And you know what? The church today, we're sending up a big beacon signal. The Lord knows where we are. And we're in the fight. We're in the battle. But we're never going to be left alone. We're never going to be left alone. And it may get real tough before it's all over. It may get down to the point to where we feel like we're not going to make it out. And fact is, Marcus, right before he was rescued, he came face to face with that man that they were sent there to kill. He came face to face with him. And Marcus raised up his gun right between his eyes, was fixing to shoot him. But there was about 150 Taliban all surrounding him. And so he couldn't shoot him because he'd just about be committing suicide. But he came face to face with him. And that's just like I believe it's going to be with the church. I mean, it's going to get so tough that it's going to feel like we're face to face with the enemy, the devil himself, Satan himself. And we're going to feel like that we're going to be overpowered. But remember, we got that beacon signal sending up. And remember, we got that promise where Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And in John 14, he said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And so right about that time, that captain of that village that had promised that he would defend Marcus to the death of the last man of that tribe, took that man off to the side and talked to him. And he and the Taliban moved off to a different location. And about that time, it was like in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, out of the bushes came the U.S. Army, about 20 of them. And they rescued Marcus, and they sent in the helicopters, and they got him out. They got him out. Just when Marcus thought that there was no hope and that he couldn't go any further, he got rescued. And what I'm saying tonight is, church, keep marching on. Stay in the battle. We're never out of the fight. We're never out of the fight. Just keep on firing the gospel gun. Keep on firing the gospel gun. Never out of the fight. The word quit's not in our dictionary. The word retreat's not in our dictionary. We're sending up, we've got a beacon sending up. We've got a promise from Jesus that He'll never leave us. We're not going to be left alone. And one of these days, it's not going to be helicopters that's coming. It's going to be Jesus Himself. He's going to split the eastern sky. I believe it's going to feel like that we don't have an ounce of strength left to stand and fight anymore. And that's when Jesus is going to come. And He's going to rapture us out of here. And I'm looking for that day to come. I hope it's in 2011. Preacher Stewart.